Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Your relationship with Wayne has grown in such a way that you guys did a collaboration album, Kylie Grove, which is a fucking brilliant collaboration, you know what I'm saying? So kudos to that. What brought that about? You know what I mean? How did that collab happen?
It was me giving back for him, doing a verse, a hook for me, which is Duffel Bad Boys, which changed my life, my family life. But even to say that, you was a part of Duffel Bad Boys, and you don't even know how.
How the fuck was that, man? Tell me about it.
Man, I'm finna fuck you up with this.
Man, come on, man. Let's hear this shit. I'm a diverse individual. All of this shit is real. Everybody like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it. All of it. I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend. It's all real. Real, real. This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harry. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Yes, indeed. Check this out, man. This is Expeditiously. I'm your host, Tip T.I. Harris. And right here on Expeditiously, what we do here, man, we have very important discussions with people who are relevant to the discussion that can move the culture and the community and the generation forward. Our guest today was introduced to us first by Luda and DTP. However, he didn't start there. He decided that he was more suited to step out on his own, and his successful solo career started in 2010. He began to issue us a parade of top while becoming the go-to artist for guest verses. Born and raised in College Park, Southside, you know what I'm saying, which is a phrase he's coined. I guess to say officially, we could say he really started going solo like around 2007, maybe, with the mixtape Me Against the World. All right, and then after that, man, you know what I'm saying, he went on to issue out the 2009 mixtapes, Trapavelli and All Ice on Me. But 2010's Me Against the World 2, you know, I guess it just kind of reminded everybody how dope he is as an artist, because we've always in the city within Atlanta, we knew how dope he was as a person, you know what I'm saying? But without further ado, man, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to just introduce him. I'm going to let him speak to you himself, man. This is my capping ass Southside partner, Mr. Yes, 2 Chainz himself.
Partner.
Yes, sir, Ski.
Yes, man.
Man, what's the deal?
Nothing. I've been peeping out what you've been doing with this, so you know. I want to support what you got going on. So,
man,
it wasn't nothing but a phone call, or it wasn't even a phone call, it was a text. and I pushed up. So.
Our relationship, man, stemmed back, man, you know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you.
I'm talking about, you know, it wasn't easy to be cool at one time for us, you dig? Because we were, you know, we were kind of at odds, you know, without really being at odds.
We were.
Because Grand Hustle and DTP didn't really see eye to eye, you know what I'm saying, for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
However, you and I always maintain a positive, a healthy rapport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, how was that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how was that on your side from your vantage point?
For me, coming from the streets into the rap game, you know, Luda was not, I'm not ashamed to say, he was the first person to open up me a bank account. So I had even though I was a college student, I still had a kind of street mentality as far as, you know, using a shoebox for an account. Even throughout college, I hustled and went back and forth on the road doing my little trapping thing. And then I started becoming interested in rap and the benefits of rap and how easy it became to me, because I was basically just telling a lot of life situations that I've been in or people close to me that been in. Got the deal with Luda, and Luda and Tip was always taking like jabs at each other. Like, but you had to be in the click to understand or hear these, like nobody else could hear these shots, you know what I'm saying? And Tip would say some old slick shit, And, you know, like, it went back and forth for some time. It was times when we used to bump into each other at the old 112.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm an only child in every manner. So even though I had cliques, a lot of people that I hung out with on the south side, they didn't want to go way to Cheshire Bridge to the old 112 and stuff like that. They didn't believe in doing that. But I would go out a lot of times by myself just because I felt like this Atlanta, man. You know what I'm saying? This is my city. I did a lot of groundwork in the city. You know what I'm saying? My resume was clean. And I used to bump into, you know, Grand Hustle, whether it be C-Rod, Mac, you know what I'm saying, Country Kane, you know what I'm saying, whoever, and Tip or whatever. And it wasn't never no smoke. It might be a mean mug or something, but it wasn't no, like, nobody really checked each other's temp. And, you know, it was respect on both ends because I remember seeing you one day. You don't even know. I was in Patchwork making a play, right?
Uh-huh.
Long time ago. And you came in that bitch, and I had Dollar with me. Dollar didn't know who you was.
Right.
But you came in. I don't know who the fuck was in there, but that's when you had the slant back, motherfucker. It was either Monte Carlo.
The Monte Carlo slant.
Yeah.
With the D's on.
Yeah. So you come in Patchwork popping big shit. I'm like, next nigga, can't no nigga rap. Like, whatever. I mean, Dollar say, man, who the fuck is this nigga right here, right? I say, that's it wasn't no T.I. and then I was really like, that's Tip, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. And it was the A room, no, it was the, not the big side, but it was the small side.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You was kind of in the kitchen.
Famous room.
Yeah, yeah, you was in the kitchen talking to somebody, and I was in the lounge room just kind of checking you out, you know what I mean? And the same way you were now, you're very headstrong, you're very confident. I don't even think I'm serious at drop yet, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I had, you know, levels of respect from the time I didn't even meet you then, but from the time I saw you and just how you were, because a lot of people don't understand that transparency always creates longevity. You know what I'm saying? The whole, like, just being very see through. Yeah, who you are. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so when I saw you act a certain way then, and then, you know, remain that same, have that same energy, shit, I had to respect.
Man, I think another thing you just alluded to is something that, you know what I'm saying, many people don't know. Like, you went to college and played ball for real.
Mm-hmm.
What school you went to?
I went to Alabama State out of North Clayton.
Yeah.
I went to North Clayton, and I started getting scholarship offers my junior year. So after my junior year, after my sophomore year, I grew. I became a little stronger, and I went to individual camps, and I probably was ranked, I don't know, and maybe in the 40s or something. But I was ranked going into my junior year. Used to get letters, boxes of letters, after each practice. And then going into my senior year, yeah, of North Clayton.
Okay.
I still never made a C, nothing, straight on a roll. And so I was asked to
take you as a homework doing that, nigga, man.
Yeah, I did. I like used to sit on cars like, you know, like, be broke down cars. I sit on cars, my nigga, and in the trap.
And do homework.
And read a novel and make plays. And just, like, they'll come, you know, I would serve J's from the car. And I would read the homework. And everybody thought, but this was before I rap, because I don't write raps. I remember phone numbers. Like, ooh. I have numbers that won't get out of my head. I have a photographic memory, a real photographic memory. Okay. It's not as good as it used to be because of all the smoking, which definitely affects your memory.
And the age.
Yeah, and the age, yeah, exactly.
And the money don't help.
Yeah. But at this particular time, I was using the same thing in school and didn't know that when I saw something or took notes, when I see it again later, I will remember it.
Right.
So it was time for me to take the SAT. You get chances to take it, many times to take it. And I just felt like I didn't need but one chance to take it because I felt like my test-taking skills were up to par.
Uh-huh.
So Thursday night, I'm at the crib getting some Knicks together to sell at school, like some nickel bags of weed, you know what I'm saying? And I never forget this. So I ain't had no scale. And this, you already know this a long time ago. And so the racetrack didn't have no digi scale. So I had to call Big Bo.
Uh-huh.
And this is a shout out to Big Bo and get this. And this is on everything I love. I haven't used the triple beam scale since then. This is what my daddy used to use, and I just thought they were old fashioned, but Bo had a scale. So I took my little ounce, I broke it all down to Nick's using his triple beam scale, which I later thought, like, this got to be a curse. This scale, I tried to blame the scale. So my mama say, you're going to take all them sacks to school tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, it's Friday. I'm going to get off all these cool. She like, you sure, Ty? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take them. You know what I'm saying? Boom, I go to school. I'm driving. I go to school. I got this red polo jacket on. I never forget it. Some white polo chino pants, little plaid shirt. I'm looking like it, as always. And I make a couple plays before school start. And boom, I go to class and have and know my day get to going. And right before lunch, these people come to my classroom and they tell me they need to talk to me for a minute. Boom, so I got my jacket on the back of the chair. That this is a long time ago because I'm having a beeper and I'm having the weed in them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so they come tell me, they say somebody said you sold them some marijuana. I was like, I don't sell marijuana. Like, this is crazy. Took me to the office. They had the little police at the office, still played crazy. Went to my locker, still played crazy. They ain't find nothing. So called my mama. She come up there with the crying act. We got this shit down. You know what I'm saying? We got it. We finna beat this.
Shout out to mom, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to my mom. And then back in North Clayton, we had somebody that had committed suicide when I went to school, and then we had a murder in the parking lot. So it was one of the first schools in Atlanta where they installed cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have metal detectors, but we had cameras first. So they rewinded when I first came to school and saw that I had on a jacket. And asked me what a jacket was. I'll never forget this story because Shy might watch it. So my cousin Shy, he way older than me, but we used to trap together in apartments. We used to take turns going to Club Candlewood and hoop. So I'd be like, I'm gonna stay here and trap. You get, because Club Candlewood had the only hold court. So he'll be like, I'm gonna go hoop and vice versa. So even then, I didn't, even though I was naturally talented in basketball, it wasn't my central focus. I was really addicted to trapping and hustling and making a dollar.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So fast forward to school, they like, where that jacket? I like, I brought that jacket for my cousin. I done just threw him in that motherfucker. I brought that bitch for my cousin. His girlfriend go here. They ain't even, I done gave that to, what's her name? I said, man, I can't even think of shorty name. Hey, little red motherfucker blanket. Them folks go back to that class. Everybody at lunch, the door locked. My red polo jacket sitting on the back. So I'm wait about 30 minutes. And Kyle coming out with a jacket, pull the weed out. I go to saying, I'm in handcuffs. Oh, hell no, nah, shot. That ain't mine. Them folk done planted this shit on me. You know what I'm saying? And I tried to plant this shit, tried to kick that. They said, okay, cool. So they call my homeboy, I be with all time GOAT. They call him, you know, Corey, blah, 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 come to the office. We need to holler at you too. So he come through the principal door. I said, what's going on? I turned, let him see my handcuff. Shout out to my, we selling weed, all this. He don't even let the door close. He turn around, run out the school. just leave. Boom, boom, boom. So when he leave, I'm like, damn, them folks say, boy, come on, you got to go.
Hey, man, you got to recognize, man, a good run be the bad stay any day now.
This is my exit. So SAT was that Saturday, and this was a Friday, and I literally, I don't know if I cried, but I was in a dark space. I was really hurt.
It's all right, though, bro.
Yeah.
It's all right, though, bro.
Nah, I'm just really thinking.
We don't tell each other, man. You know what I'm saying? That was a very traumatic experience, man. You're on the road, the motherfucker trying to get to college. You got to take the SAT. Now here you in a caught a motherfucker weed case in school.
Yeah, so.
You know what I mean? Because I know you didn't come to school prepared to go to jail with no white chino pants.
No, I didn't.
No plaid polo and no polo jacket.
Right.
I already know that. So man, that shit was goddamn, you know what I'm saying? That shit, it shook you up.
Yeah, so that was when I can honestly tell younger guys who get arrested earlier that, like, I'd rather, and this is crazy, I'd rather get locked up back then than now. Like, I see 12, I'd be like, you got it, bro. Like, I'm not going, like, I'm cool on that. You know what I'm saying? And so that single moment in my life really put me on, changed my trajectory as far as, you know, obviously got out on Monday. Mr. SAT had to lie to the coaches who were interested in me for as long as I could because it wasn't social, it wasn't IG, it wasn't none of that where they could find out it happened. So I'm just, how you felt about the test? I'm like, I know I did good, but like, it didn't.
You hadn't took the test yet.
I couldn't take it.
Hey, Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The perfect tools for your family jewels. Yeah, I like that. It even rhymed. Now, the Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations, you know what I mean, to round out the manscaping routine. Yeah, man, so this third generation trimmer, it features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent your manscaping accident, man. That'll be a terrible travesty, man. You definitely wouldn't enjoy it. Now, millions of balls about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And when you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit at manscaped.com, you get the biggest bang for your buck. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer's always fresh and clean. So right now, get 20% off and free shipping with the code TIP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TIP. Now, your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you.
That killed me. I end up taking it the summer before the black up. So HBCU schools started calling.
All right.
Alabama State is in Montgomery. It's exactly 2 hours away. 85 South. You don't got to make no turns. You just go. But at this time, past Shannon Mall,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be there in 2 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm already hustling. I got a expedition with TVs in it. And I'm like, shit. So they gave me a full ride.
Right.
And when I go there, another traumatic. And this is when I didn't care about basketball again. I go to the school.
Uh-huh.
And the coaches who told me, like, they were so like, we love you. We got a position for you, right. Blah, blah, blah. As soon as I get to campus, they get fired.
Damn.
And then when the new coaches come in, they bring their own players. And I lost the love for basketball at that particular time as far as playing. And then I just wanted to do something else. And this is where I am right now.
But did you know at that time you wanted to rap?
No, but I knew I could change the climate of a room. Like, I think people, and I could talk to you because you're successful. And we've had this conversation. You talked about when you were in school and you just like, you knew you was going to be a rapper.
I already knew what was I was going to do. I already knew. Yeah. I was going to sell dope until the rap shit came.
Yeah.
I already knew that.
So I didn't know I was going to be a rapper. Like, Lil Fate, like, he dressed like a rapper. He wore headbands, baggy clothes. Like, he did all that. And I used to tell him, like, I want to hear you rap, bro. But I didn't know. I'm at the car wash and like, they telling me, hey, 6ix9ine, hey, Slim, why don't you freestyle for us? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm freestyling. And they say, I'm hard. And I still haven't been in the studio. And this will happen, you know, every 8-9 plays, somebody pull up. Bro, why don't you kick some shit, Charlie? They say you be. And then somebody, Juk and Shy, they gave me a chance, like, to like, go in the studio and do something. And this time, I'm from Atlanta, so... I'm a fan of like Kilo, Sammy Sam, the Hard Boys, right. Poison Clan, like all Memphis
and
rap.
CMP.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all this, all yeah, so
and the Diablo.
But I hang around Dollar, who was he was definitely ahead of me because he was on Kool G Rap and Wu Tang,
right.
Even Jay Z, and he was trying to tell me like
real hip hop,
but he trying to tell me, Shawty, they trap too. You got to listen, like how they say it different,
right.
Like, and I couldn't get over like. How, you
your
know,
son
the Kilo melodies and the Sammy Sam, like abruptness in your face, that's why I like. So my first couple raps were more chanty on some three. I might say something a couple. It wasn't really like bars, but Dollar could like, he was so eloquent how he flowed. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
I just was like, I got to tighten this up. So I started becoming more of a student then when I knew like, this might be what I want to do. I started listening to a more wider range of artists.
Right. And then that introduce you to the opportunity to be with Chris and
exactly.
DTP.
All that glued together, right?
Yeah, yeah. So y'all had, you know what I'm saying, y'all had a run where y'all got there really at the threshold of success for the label. You know what I'm saying?
He was. I mean, even in
y'all were knocking at the door now. You were there. It just something didn't go all the way it needed to be for that shit to materialize 100%. And a lot of people don't know, you know what I'm saying, the whole shit between Grand Hustle and DTP, that shit started with me and another artist on DTP, which was
I-20. Yeah.
So it started with he and I didn't like each other. I think partially because, you know, I was goddamn bold and arrogant enough to say I was the king of the South. Out in public all the time, and you know that got me in a lot of shit. Most of the shit, you know, was behind that. And he called up to the radio station when Ludacris was Chris Lover Lover, and
right.
Then he had Poon Daddy with him. They was on from 6 to 10,
right?
Hot 9 7
off the net, right?
You dig what I'm saying? Yeah, when the radio station was right on Old National,
right.
So shit gonna get played, And you know what I'm saying? He called up there and he said, man, who this nigga talking about? He the king of the South, man. You better tell him this, that, and other. And I heard it and I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I called up there. I said, "Hey, y'all. So whoever this is, I don't know who he is." And then boom, like, "Yo, this is a it's 20 from you know Duquette, from BTP yeah, from yeah. He from Eastside. He with Chris and them." I said, "All right, well, whoever it is, whatever it is, man. How about this? Tell him come on here, man. Y'all let him spit it. I'm gonna spit mine. We let the caller decide. Then absolutely. If they decide that I'm the king, then he'll run off into the night forevermore to be heard from again. And, you know what I'm saying? And at first, everybody on my side in the studio, me be like, "Man, nah, don't do that. Give me homeboy. Why is you go?" I said, "Man, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yeah,
I should feel no evil." So we did it, and I will admit, you know what I'm saying, Poon and Chris, they played it fair. You know what I'm saying? It was unanimous. You know what I'm saying? I came away with the victory. But from that point forward,
it was smoke,
it was salt, you know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Like, you know, I always knew that Cud didn't really like it. He wasn't fucking with me. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that when y'all was, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm, having y'all come right every moment, bonding, mm-hmm, as a unit,
mm-hmm,
that if he owes some fuck that nigga shit, then the rest of y'all were rolling with it.
Mm-hmm.
So then it would fuck all y'all, and y'all would like fuck all them. However, we never went out of town and displayed no kind of animosity toward one another. We kept that shit in the city, and most motherfuckers didn't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we kept some of it in the city.
We kept some of it in the city, but we didn't. Hey, listen, man. Okay, so that don't really count.
What you mean it don't count? That's what you mean that don't count. We had a whole brawl. Like, we did them. It does count.
So that was the whole, I
remember, look. It's shit funny. I remember Clay and C. Roy. Look, we get to looking at each other like, all right now.
Man,
look,
listen, man.
Motherfucker, this shit here was wild, but this shit is definitely some funny shit because it really, so when y'all did this freestyle shit against each other, I was still in the streets. I wasn't trying to be a rapper. What we had did as a unit internally is me and a group of guys, we put out a compilation in the Southside called Player Circle. And the second song that I ever recorded in my life, Luda had wanted to take a line out of it and make a hook. And I didn't, you know, so Lil Fate telling me, "Boy, Luda, he fuck with you, whatever. He about to do Def Jam South or some shit." So off my second song, I got so much good feedback. I started saying, "Let me take this serious. I think I can do this shit for real." And that's how I actually met Luda and built a rapport with him and end up signing the DTP first because obviously he had a heads up and he saw something in me and I'm very appreciative to it. It just became a point where I grew up. I became a grown ass man, an individual, and wanted to handle and take care of business of my own. And I saw myself being bigger than somebody in somebody's entourage. So it's no love lost there. I see him a lot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to have that, in, you know, as a part of, you know,
your
my
legacy.
Book. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now, you know, you spoke about the shit, but we weren't really all the way goddamn successful at keeping the shit out of the public eye. I mean, the shit happened.
Yeah, it happened.
It happened, you know what I'm saying? At the Kevin,
it was funny, too.
At the Kevin Lyles brunch. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny about that? I also had on some motherfucking polo chinos that day.
Hey, bro.
It's something about them polo chinos.
You should have saw how you walked out, bro. That shit was so, that shit nigga walked out like, that shit was funny, bro. You a funny nigga, bro. That's all I can tell you, bro. I kind of laughed a little bit how you walked out because ain't nobody really get hit, but it was some tussling and shit.
Well, listen, bro, I'm going to tell you something. I beg the differ. And although I'm not proud of it, you know what I'm saying? Like Shaka,
that first swing, you ain't hit nothing. I'm telling you, you ain't hitting nothing. The man went up on y'all. I'm sitting right there. The first one, you did that. I'm telling you, bro. I did this a long time ago with a bully.
What's that?
In the neighborhood that turned your back. That goddamn like you finna walk off move. Cause that's what it was. Y'all went whoop de whoop. And then you act like you were gonna walk off. And then you just caught that motherfucker back. You know what I'm saying? It like swung. But it seemed like he kind of was ahead of that shit. And then y'all, he ducked and y'all kind of locked up and did a whole bunch of little tussling. And then both of our groups jumped on y'all, whether to pull y'all loose or to get some little punches in. But I mean, it was one of the funniest events I ever been in. And then being in LA, you know. you know who all else got involved when it happened. So
yeah,
It was one of them things, man.
You know what I'm saying? I recall it being a bit different. But before we get into that,
I want to hear your recollection because I'm just a...
I don't even want to do that.
It's in the past.
I don't want to do that because now Shaka is one of my favorite people in the world. You know what I'm saying? We've developed our own relationship and we've grown and evolved and we've had a relationship of a friendship that is grown to a very healthy place. So it don't...
Yeah. And I don't think it behooves this was years ago. This was over a decade ago.
Yeah, man, it was probably about, it was what, 2006?
Yeah, this is long. Like this is a super long time ago. However,
I know that even in the midst of all of that, right, me and Chris ain't never really had no, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it was just healthy competition.
It was healthy competition. And it uplifted the city somehow, some way. All of that shit uplifted the city.
I learned a lot from both of y'all. I'm going to be 1,000. Like, during that period, just studying both sides. And, like, I learned a lot from both of y'all during that period. Like, I paid attention. I just wasn't around, just whatever. I learned how to drive a car by watching somebody, not nobody teaching me. So it's like, I used to watch how Chris would articulate stuff. I would check out, you know what I'm saying, some of your flows and paths and listen to that. And then, you know, how you, because it was a difference. Like, Chris is really from, you know, Illinois. He's not from Atlanta, but he's been here for so long. You know what I'm saying? You're from Atlanta. You can hear it in the accent and a lot of that stuff. So it was like, trying to have that balance, knowing that I was from the city and know that people like our accent, but you know what I'm saying, it's a certain level of slum that we can only recognize internally, and then just wanting to be international star. So I swear on both of y'all during that time, it was more of a, like a study guide shit. I was checking both.
Hey, MacBone, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you unhappy with your smile?
No.
You like your smile?
I do.
You do?
I do.
All right, well, for those of you out there who aren't happy with their smile, you think you got a perfect smile, you think it could be better?
It could be better, but nevertheless, I love it.
It's wonderful that you love yourself just the way you are. However, if you want to have your smile improve, you know, it's a place you can go. It can get it done for you.
Is that right?
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. It's called Candid. Candid Clear Liners are comfortable, removable, and totally invisible. So you can transform your smile without anyone noticing a thing. Would you be interested in something like that?
I would.
Would you now?
I would.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to take advantage of the opportunity to, you know, straighten your teeth a little bit better and, you know, get you some clear liners, you ain't even got to step into a doctor's office. You ain't got to go through no waiting room process. Your treatment is prescribed remotely by a licensed orthodontist. I mean, you can do that shit online, buddy.
And they're going to ship it right to the house.
And Candid delivers everything you need right to the door. Mm. You dig what I'm saying?
Now, real convenient.
Yeah, man. If you're looking ahead of a special occasion, like you got a wedding coming up, maybe. You know what I mean? You finna get married?
No, sir.
No, okay, cool. No way. All right. No, well, sir. You know what? Well, guess what? You got a graduation season coming up. Got anybody graduate?
No, sir.
Well, you just might find yourself smiling for some pictures, man, with some lady friends. You
want? No, sir.
No. Whatever the case, man, you might be ready to take the first step towards straighter teeth, man. And for a limited time, you can get started with $75 off by using code TI at CandidCO.com. All right? That's CandidCO.com/TI. Now, the TI code, man, you can use it for $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/TI. Code TI. You learned very well. You learned fast and you executed that shit, man. You know, probably as best as I've seen it done, you know what I'm saying? And you were actually born and raised here, you know, in College Park, Atlanta, South Side. What the greater part about being from this city, man?
The South Side, you know, I think the South Side, that's where the airport is. You got to come here. Yeah, y'all try to act like y'all ain't going to come to College Park. You come to College Park every time you land.
Goddamn well, y'all that work came from the west.
Man.
You know, good what? Goddamn well, man. Let's all that start, shit bro. Came from the west, man. Bro, y'all
anytime
took that
y'all
shit back
was,
out south, man. You know, good goddamn well. That shit started in the city now.
I ain't going to tell you how many bankhead niggas, pulled up to the Frozen Palace on the net to get they fixings, bro. Don't let me get
Wait a minute now.
No, don't let me get
I'm
in the
talking,
net now.
I'm talking about. I'm
well,
talking
I just
about,
wanted to get on that.
Nah, man, I'm talking about.
I just want to let you know now.
We talk about
Southside
big
got
distribution,
though. Southside got something to say.
Hey, man. South,
y'all exactly. got that old truck, Petro. What that deal right there by the flame?
You talking about the Petro? Talking about the Petro?
Yeah, I made jugs there, too.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Everybody done been up there and got that.
Hey, you know, hey, listen, let me tell you this. You know, you get off. You know, you get off. You know, when you get off at Holloway right there and you make a right and go to the supposed to be the bad part. I used to make a left and make plays out there too. But that is hey, Mapleton. I'm having drugs out there too.
But see that
high speed on there.
Now check this out though.
High speed on May.
Ain't
May.
No question on that. Everybody like you exceptional hustlers made plays everywhere.
Okay.
We talking about the majority.
Well the South Side is
we
one
talking
of the best
about the majority.
Be, man.
It's only hey man, it's only one motherfucking 2 Chainz. You dig what
it's
I'm
one,
saying? It's only 1-2 chain. Now, I'm talking about before you became a rapper. I'm talking about the kind of hustle, the kind of could, you know what I mean? The West Side got several, brother. You mentioned Kilo. They were doing that back then. You mentioned Sammy Sam. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We know about the Diablo, CLP.
Yeah.
You know, and Long Lil, Shouty Low. You know what I'm saying? Then you got also motherfuckers like me. So wait a minute now. So let's just get this straight. Let's keep this shit all the way 1,000 with it now. Let's come on back full circle. The player way. You understand me?
Okay.
Now, it seems as though we kind of established ourselves and set the standard, which you guys recognized this standard. And you found ways
man, we
to
from
reach
it. Man, Jermaine Dupri from Old National.
Man, I thought we were talking about hustlers. I thought we were talking about hustlers. I'm sorry. Shall we end the discussion and start it again? I'm sorry.
I mean, let you know, man. What are we talking about? Musical hustler. Cause
now I'm talking about hustlers that ended up taking what they had and turning it into music.
Shit, man. I don't hustlers it's a company. It's a couple of these guys that's doing some other stuff, man. They on a couple of these little shows and stuff. Y'all wouldn't know how. Y'all wouldn't know how they
man,
had. Their
if
nails
we don't
dirty.
Know it, we can't consider it. I'm just talking about.
I don't
this
do
shit.
No talking, but let me tell you now.
Shit, we been got doing quite a bit of it lately.
Yeah,
you've been doing quite a bit of it lately, sir.
I ain't dropping. No names.
No, but I'm just
like
talking
that.
About shit. That's what we do. This is a talk show. We on this motherfucker to talk.
You want me up here to express myself? That's what I'm here for.
Hey, man.
I'm here for
regardless,
that.
Bro. You know what I'm saying? North, south, east, and west, man.
We all one.
Man. I feel like we can only have these discussions amongst
you
each other. You dig what I'm saying?
In the, what I did to bounce that big motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Walking there with a zip in my balls. Yeah.
Did you now?
Yeah. Security jump on my back, throw the ball. My putt in from Pittsburgh. Tell him hold that.
Yeah, well, if you were from the west, side, you to walk straight in, no problem.
Yeah, well, I ain't from the west, so I'm trying
I
to tell you I'm going. I'm trying to
I walked
tell
there
you.
When I walked there well, man, on the south side. Walked in there, no problem, Jack. And also, man, something that I think is extremely impressive, like, you know, your relationship with Wayne has grown in such a way that you guys did a collaboration album, Kylie Grove, which is a fucking brilliant collaboration, you know what I'm saying? So kudos to that. What brought that about? You know what I mean? How did that collab happen?
You know, Hone didn't put out no music for like 5 or 7 years, one of them, because whatever was going on, whatever his situation was, I still remain in contact with him. He wasn't doing anything different that he was doing when he was putting out records consecutively. It just, I guess his music couldn't come out or whatever, for whatever reason.
It was on strike.
Yeah, it was on. So he still going to the studio every night and skating and doing the stuff. Yeah, a skate ramp in the booth, like in his booth right there, you know what I'm saying? Yep. And I came up with this idea because I'm like, when you do an album, right, you get features on the album. I might have Tip, you know, Skate, I might have, you know, Dro, whatever.
Although you've been dodging me now.
Man, don't do that on
him.
Don't do that on your show, because you're going to edit it.
I bet you I won't.
Don't bet you won't what?
I bet you I won't edit shit out now. I'm just telling you the straight
man,
up and
we
down.
In a studio.
God's
we
honest,
we are in a studio.
You've been dodging shit
you know
out of me.
You know where we at now.
You've been dodging shit out of me now.
I rap sitting down, too. I got so cool. I be sitting down doing this
shit.
Shit,
man. I do this shit like a dog shit in the street. Anytime I want, any way I want.
My dog don't shit in the street. We eloquent. We shit on grass.
I'm talking about stray dogs, nigga. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Dogs get it out the motherfucking mud of the trash can. You know what I'm saying?
I eat house food.
Hey, man.
Bro, I get groomed and everything.
Hey, man. Hey, listen,
people
bro.
People don't stinking dogs no more.
The Kylie Grove shit was awesome. The shit was amazing. And your fourth album, Pretty Girls Like Trap.
You didn't even
music.
Let me finish telling you how I got the album done.
Man, I thought you... I'm sorry,
I was
man.
Telling you, when I said something about feature, then you...
Yeah, yeah, man. Because you said my name. Like, you know what I do? I get features from Tip, but you don't call me now. You don't call me now. Let's just keep it on way 1,000 y'all.
You're going to be on a new album.
Let's keep it on the thigh y'all. Hey, man, you know what?
I don't want to send shit. I want you to see really how I like do this shit in front of people. They
man,
don't believe,
look,
I swear.
Boy, I do this shit about you like a motherfucker in front of your
yeah,
face,
I
man.
I got it.
I
yeah,
don't
gonna,
give no damn
gonna,
about that.
You're going to need
no
two chefs. You're going to need two chefs,
you dig what I'm saying?
Hey, I can see that nigga now making man. That little moving volcano.
Can't scare me with a good time. Like my grandma used to say, goddamn, if you beat me sliding, you can have my sled, nigga. Think he slick.
Yeah, man.
Hell is you saying?
You get that old quick ass mouth.
Do this shit for bread and meat. We don't win, we don't eat, my nigga. Shit. And as you saying.
Pimp and Tip, I got you.
Come on, man. Now, come on. Now, tell her how you got.
All right, so I just did an album with him. It was me giving back for him doing a verse, a hook for me, which is Duffel Bag Boys, which changed my life, my family home. Life. But even to say that, you was a part of Duffel Bag Boys, and you don't even know how.
How the fuck was that, man? Tell me about it.
Man, I'm finna fuck you up with this.
Man, come on, man. Let's hear this shit.
Duffel Bag Boys came out in 2007.
All right.
So this had to be either 2007 or 2006.
Right.
I was shopping, you know what I'm saying? And I got, dang, was giving me some Gucci's. I seen some red Gucci's, right?
Okay.
So I said, damn.
With laces, like sneakers? Or
yeah, some red Gucci's. Nah, tennis shoes, and they had like
talk about like the little bowling ball looking motherfucker.
Mm-mm. They some red ones with like some fern. They was some
okay,
flavor,
gotcha,
right?
Okay, gotcha.
And so at this time, Wayne was wearing like Supras and like a lot of skate shit, you know what I'm saying? So I knew he was on his blood shit. I'm like, Shawty, what size shoe you wear? You know what I'm saying? Like 7, 8, whatever size it was. I'm like, bet. So I get two pair of the Gucci's. I get my side, I get his side, and he, I say, where you at? You know what I'm saying? The nigga happened to be at your studio when we having all this little smoking shit. I don't even know if you remember this. So they're in the B room. It's him, Lil Roscoe.
Uh-huh.
And one more nigga in the studio, and you were in the booth rapping.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And so I tell him, I'm outside with your shoes. So he like, shit, bring him in here, bitch. Let me check him out, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he know that we don't even supposed to be in the same room together. It's no bullshit, bro. When I walk in that bitch with the shoes, right, I don't see you at all. Country Kane upstairs shooting pool. Like I see everybody looking like what I'm in there for. But I'm so low, I'm like, fuck it. So I come in that bitch. Ruskell like, oh, yeah, that's my boy there from the South Side. You know he been hanging in the South Side. So Ruskell like, oh, it's all good, Slim. Come on in, Slim. Boom. No bullshit, bro. Mid rap, bro. You stop rapping. And then you looked over there at me through the glass.
Man, what the fuck happened?
I tell Wayne, man, that's fucked up, nigga. He tell me, what you talking about? Blah, blah. I said, bro, you know I'm finna get out this man's shit. You know this man don't want me in this shit. He like, all right, bitch, I'm gonna call you later. So,
hey, but look though, what happened when I looked at you?
I swear, you just gave me. You never came out the book, but you kind of. I swear, you looked at me like how you be looking when you be on that funny shit, and you looking at me like, man, I swear I went in there probably 5 minutes. I was like, shit, I told Sean, I'm gonna have to holler at you. You know what I'm saying? Boom. But when I'm there, I give him this beat CD that got the Duffel Bag shit on it.
Who did that beat, by the way?
M16.
That motherfucker was jammed.
He was from Alabama. I met him, and I thought he was hard. So the shit was crazy. I leave him the Gucci shoes, the beat CD, and 2 weeks later, I go to Miami to fuck with him on some shit. You know what I'm saying? And when I go down there, he asks me what I thought about the record he did for me.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. He said, I did something to that beat, one of them beats on that beat CD. So he asked Tez what the fucking email was, and I come to find out he had sent it to the wrong email. So
man,
I went to the studio.
Sent it to me, goddamn! I'd have man,
yeah,
shit.
Went to the studio, and that's how it happened, bro. That's exactly how it happened. And from then on,
damn, why we ain't get Wayne that motherfucking email address,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, he got. That's how. And I had to come. I remember you being in there, little Free Roscoe.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that was just a unique story because I think about that room. I think about, you know, y'all, and I think about when me.
That's why you went about the motherfucker. That really why you wanted it. That's why you went. That why you wanted to buy the motherfucker.
I got some money. I want to buy everything you and Chris had. Yeah, you talking about? Yeah, I want it too. Ain't that right? Yeah, you talking about? I want it too. But
hey,
now I can get it.
Hey, look, man.
I say, this the one tip you throw on? I said, T-I-T? Yeah, T-I-T. I want it.
As the capping continues. Y'all heard that? The world turned, goddamn it. We need to get this nigga a show, Kyle. As the capping continues. Hey, man, speaking of the show, the most expensive is some dope shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for, you know, enlightening those who might not be exposed to the finer sides of things. You dig what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You came in with the Robin Leach shit. You know, I can appreciate that.
Rest in peace, Robin Leach. I had him on my show, too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I seen him, motherfucker.
Before he passed away, man.
He was going back and forth with you?
Yeah, to my caviar. He eating them on some pancakes. They not called pancakes. Like, these little bitty motherfuckers.
Them motherfuckers some little dollar
these
pancakes.
These motherfuckers called pancakes. Don't ever put syrup on there. I said, hey, man. But anyway.
So what made you want to do that?
Shit. I know I have a great personality. I had an idea, and I had somebody who wanted an idea.
Right.
We met. They had the resources that I need as far as the production and the editing. And then they start vetting out different. I would bring something to the table, obviously, that I wanted to do, but then they start vetting out locations and people.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is very improv. There are no scripts. I don't know the person that I'm about to see or what they do. Mm-hmm. So it's like. It's like somebody recording you meet somebody for the first time, and you know somebody was there when we first met, or when you first met Jay, or first met, you know what I'm saying, you Dro, you know what I'm saying. Like if a camera was there when you first met him, and they said, and they was like, and Dro had some 30s, and you'd be like, what the fuck is this? And like, but this is a real conversation, and right. I think that's what resonates for the viewers, that it's just a real conversation that I'm curious about. I want to know why it costs so much, where you come from, what you do.
And why would motherfuckers pay this shit?
And who will buy this, you know?
So. Now, I mean, listen, bro, you definitely a trailblazer and a visionary. We can go on and talk about that, but that's what shit motherfuckers should already know just by sitting around watching. But what motherfuckers will not have an idea of is your entrepreneurial skill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been excellent at branding different opportunities outside of music. You know, like Escobar South, mm-hmm. Members Only. You got your marijuana shit going. Where the fuck does all that come from? Like, how did you acclimate yourself with this side of business for the people at home? Like, if you're a young titty boy, not a 2-chain, you're mm-hmm. a young titty boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who blew his opportunity to go to college because he made a mistake. How do you not let that destroy you, but kind of like put it back together and work out their plan?
I think hustling teaches you a lot, honestly. I mean, you know, like.
Facts.
I think it just teaches you a lot, whether it teaches you math, it teaches you how to save, it teaches you.
Manufacturing, distribution.
Man, this is like. My mama made me realize that I would literally be. Breaking a generational curse because my son then won't have to hustle. So my mom, the job that she had that I remember, she was like a loan officer for real estate. But for the most part, she hustled with my father. I don't have an image of my father getting ready for work, putting on a suit, being in traffic. I don't have that image. On my father's side, he had an uncle who owned a liquor store
mm-hmm.
and let all the nephews and stuff work there. So I remember that. And he also had an indoor pool and a bunch of Rottweilers when I was little, but I didn't understand that this was balling at this particular time.
Right.
On my mom's side, they wasn't as rich and fortunate as this, but I remember my grandma working a bootleg house, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, selling, which is the same thing as hustling.
Right, liquor on Sunday.
Yeah. With those two things in mind, I didn't have an image of somebody working for somebody ever in my mind. You know what I'm saying? And when you start hustling, first you go in with people like that you trust. Well, that's how I did. I went in with my friends and then I started moving on my own. And then when you start moving on your own, you actually feel like you're grown, you're older, you're more mature. Seventh grade, I started. This is out of my mom's home only. We lived in Pittsburgh, and she was allowing me to sell Knicks out the window, you know what I'm saying? Just and then, of course, that's when the Red Dogs were around, and there was a couple busting. But after that, I started, being more careful about hustling and how I wanted to move, and I never saw me doing a resume or putting on a suit or actually working right. for somebody. So when I became a rapper, I know that this rap ain't going to last forever. I know the money ain't going to last forever. You want to buy things. So I had to invest my money in something that I felt like was close to hustling. And and meet people, it's always about having important people in place too.
Right.
And I'm a good talent scout. Like, that's a whole nother skill set. Like,
right.
That's what Steve Jobs was. He was able to pick people out at different places and locations and to create Apple and iPhone, what we know it is now. And so I use some of that same skill set when I'm putting together my team, rather to help me with my properties or
right
even to help me with my label, with what I'm doing with schooling and all of those guys. I try to put the right people in place, and then the rest is about scouting out the right talent to help me get my dreams accomplished. I can't do it on my own.
Shout out to the team, man. Tech and I know Snoop on the team as far as your restaurant. What would we call it? Lounge restaurant?
Yeah, restaurant Escobar downtown has been open for 3 years. It'll be 4 years this year, which is a blessing in the restaurant industry. We just opened up the second location on the south side, right by South Lake Mall, and it's doing exceptionally well. I have this after-hour spot called Members Only that I'm trying to basically just give the one a little competition. Got some good food, good vibes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stay open late to like 6 in the morning.
That what's up.
And I have a couple other things, but, you know, my nail shop, I'm going to do a soft opening or a private opening for S. I mean, what they have in here?
Bonnie Brothers?
Yeah, they about to do that here. So I'm going to have some people coming in and get their foots and stuff done.
Right on.
That's that side. But I'm still, music is my primary love right now. Like, I haven't even gotten into acting yet. You know, I hit you about the acting shit a long time ago.
Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, I hadn't even gotten there. I rap every single night, bro. It's crazy. I still love rap. I still love surprising myself, like what I'm going to come up next. I still love putting bars, metaphors, stories together. And then having the younger guys around me, they just keep me on my toes as far as what's going on, not getting too far back and dated and sound like that. So I love the position. If I was somewhere like up in the penthouse by myself, I probably would be taking days off, but I'm on ground zero. I'm down here with everybody. I'm down here with my partners, and I love rapping. This shit is still like the first day for me.
Man, that's dope. I mean, so also as a label, you have introduced talent to the world before. Of course, we got the Net Generation.
Mm-hmm.
One of your, I guess you could say, predecessors, man, and all of our young homies, Bankroll Fresh. I know, you know what I'm saying, the bond that y'all had, simply because, you know, I also knew Bankroll and shit. We used to fuck around, and you know what I'm saying? It was kind of, y'all paved the way professionally for Bankroll and developed the sound for him. I saw when y'all put y'all hands on that shit, it became more structured, and then it became more of a movement. You know what I'm saying? So how was that being influential in a young legend's legacy?
Well, the same thing I do with them, I did with Bankroll. I took him around Wayne. I took him around places that he probably had a, if he had to do it another way, it probably would take longer. One thing about Bankroll, he was already a star. He was already, and he already had a lot of things in place as far as his crew. He had his whole street money worldwide. He had a whole campaign going. He had a logo. A lot of this stuff, it's for the first time. He was already seasoned. He basically had switched his name, you know what I'm saying? So he had been messing with Gucci. So by the time I even got on the radar for Bankroll, he was just so confident, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would take this dude. I got a crib in Florida and I got a studio down there. And man, I swear, bro, this nigga went in my studio and I was in the living room watching the game or something. And man, this man walked out and my engineer said, the boy just did 3 songs. And I swear he wasn't in there 30 minutes. And I was, and I just thought it was just talk, because I go in sometime and I might mumble some shit and then come back and fix it.
Yeah.
No, this man was actually saying something. And it was just situations where we went out of town and moved together. And it was more like I was building a relationship. Like, he was another person. He was inspiring me. Like, I'd be needing that around sometimes.
Yeah.
Cause I've been coasting for so long. So when he came around, he came with that energy, bro. When he used to go out, he had that energy. He jumped up and down like, you gonna know who I am. He was very confident. Even at shows, he already had his little moves together, what he was gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a fun nigga to hang around and skate. Like, we go out of town, like, bro had that energy. He always had that whole looking exactly like it, looking like it. It came from Bank. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just, he had that slang shit. He used to call me Tall. That's all. He like, what's up, Tall? What we doing today? This Tall. You know what I'm saying? Boom. And it was just, and I missed that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I guess that's why I wanted some more youngs around, because I miss him. I miss that energy. I miss home had a vision. Let me tell you something. Like, I don't, like, it's crazy, like, when I think about where he would be at today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can share in that enthusiasm, because, you know, that's how we feel over here about Dobie. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Dobie was that. He was the energy here. You know, mm-hmm. he was that, you know, for us. And to be honest with you, when we lost him, that shit got down, took a lot. It took a lot out of us. You know, just as far as it took us a while before we would actually assemble another team again.
Understandable.
You know what I'm saying? But moving on, man, moving on. So I just want to give some time, man. Bankroll Fair, man. Long Live Street. Yeah, you know what I mean? And, you know, one time for Dobie, just on behalf of Grand Hustle. I have a question. Do you have life insurance?
No,
you don't.
I don't.
You don't have life insurance.
I don't. I'm ashamed to say I don't.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. If there's one thing that humans ain't good at, is predicting the future. So what you need to do is take a look around, because no amount of crystal balls, fortune cookies, or tea leaves can predict the world we're living in right now. Now, good thing for you, I got a tip for you. You can go to Policy Genius, man. Policy Genius can help you, man. That's one worry you won't have to worry about. Life insurance. You know what I mean? You can go to PolicyGenius.com, man. And I'm sure they got a team that will handle all the paperwork and red tape for you for free. All you got to do is apply. You dig what I'm saying?
I understand.
It makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You can save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies for yourself. You thought about that?
No, never thought about that.
Okay, well, you probably should start. If you haven't found a play-by-play breakdown of your future inside of a crystal ball or a cookie, well, you don't need insurance then. But if you ain't like everybody else in the world, be prepared for anything with life insurance. In just a few minutes, you can find your best price and apply at PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius, because we'll always get the future wrong, better get life insurance right. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah, man, we gonna go on into the next phase of Expeditiously. Yes, indeed, man. So this is a TRU, you know what I'm saying? True Records. Now, can somebody tell me what TRU stand for?
The Real You.
The Real You, as in the Real University.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so an institution for real shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man, ain't nothing wrong with that.
In this university, we practice and preach individualism.
Okay.
Feeling good in your own skin. Trend setting, things of that nature are some of the courses that we go through over here, as far as you know, standing on it, you know, things like that.
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, I can respect and appreciate that now, because some of y'all tell me, and speaking of individualism, I think since this is y'all particular portion of the show, we're going to change the color for y'all, man. We're going to bam. Y'all look like y'all like red. There we go.
You try skating. You try skating, world.
Hey, man.
Y'all, let's see what's
guys, well, I want y'all to introduce yourself to the world, man. Who are the flagship artists here?
All of them. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm World. Big General. Zone 3, Tomaville.
Yeah, Hot Lock Damn. Polar Richmond, Southside, Old National, Guy Road, all that shit. Everyone on the South got a lock on that shit.
I am the only West Side member. Let me go on.
You're not alone, young man.
You know what I'm saying?
Talk your shit, man. I'm the only speak your piece.
West Side member over here at the TRU
can't
camp.
Can't wait to jump,
you understand?
Y'all.
True gang. Schoolie, schoolboy, you know, whatever.
Yeah, man. Big F on the South Side, Sleepy Row.
Right on, man. Now, you guys have the pleasure, and you have somewhat of the challenge of being around a fucking mega superstar, man, who already got it and who motherfuckers already know who he is. How do each of you maintain your individual kind of like respect when you step out and you already got to be around this cap ass nigga right here. How y'all do that? Because that's a challenge for an artist, especially like walking in the door with it.
With me, I've been pushing my little shit for a minute now, my grind. So like, I want to be known as like 2 Chainz. Like, he's just like him. So I'm grinding hard what I do. So I don't want you to be like, I want you to know me as me, like world, like not just 2 Chainz artist. You feel me? So I hold weight and I'm grinding for it.
That was up. Schooling, now I've known you for quite some time, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's a former, a founding member of the Rich Kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I met you through Shaw and, you know, and the guys, man, when y'all were really just teenagers out there doing this shit.
Babies.
You know what I mean? So how is it for you, you know what I'm saying, coming from that and then, you know what I'm saying, having a solo career now?
a lot of different, I wouldn't call them setbacks, a lot of different just segments of my life. Sometimes I feel like I was spoiled into it. Cause of how fast we
you came into the game with a hit like record,
and being around you, just going through what you were going through, you know, I take from people accomplishments as well as their mistakes, you know, like I learn from, and I just watching you, you know, you was already, you know, what was going on with you, you know, what's up with you, big old, you know,
man,
so like
shit. Some more,
it's just. And then I had to, you know, hold it down for a minute, try to stick in there, you know.
But how you got down, man, go into the room and shine your own light, man, when you got to, you know what I'm saying, walk in with bruh?
I just be me. I can't lie. I just be me. Me, I just like to sing. I like to rap, you know, and they like it. Atlanta, they welcome me with open arms every single day, you know, all my life. So I just want to get in what they really been asking me for the whole time.
Yeah, and we need to get a goddamn Rich Kid reunion album.
For sure.
We need to put that together.
For sure.
That'd be hard.
They've been asking for that for so long too.
Yeah,
this time
we need to get that done. So shit, I ain't got there. Got Shard, man.
Shout out to the Rich Kid.
You know, shout out to God. You know, he done already said he was with it. You know, man. And we just need School and the rest of the guys to
for
come
sure.
on in, man.
For sure.
Guapo said he
I
was
think
with
we,
it.
I think everybody
Guapo.
Ready.
He said he was with it. So y'all need to pull up and get the shit done.
Yeah, we need to.
All right. Well, you know what I'm saying. That's enough. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You know my favorite room at Street now. You know, it's Street now. But
okay.
You know my favorite room at Street now, like,
right.
was the first room when you go upstairs where we recorded What's Up Over. When you let her record it over that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That motherfucker, I mean, you know, that motherfucker legendary now.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That motherfucker, that building legendary. We need to keep that shit within the culture, protect it at all costs. You know
for
what I mean?
For sure.
That shit should, you know what I'm saying, it should be a motherfucking a landmark for flagship success. You dig what I'm saying?
Definitely,
And you know, before I had it, Meech, you know, had it was BML, you know what I mean? It was a BML building. You know what I mean? So, you know, look at how many motherfucking millionaires passed through that motherfucker. You can't be far from it.
Yeah.
Shit.
For sure.
That shit already got them in the bag. All y'all got to do is not fuck it up. Now, hot, you know what I mean? They say you rap like, you know, your life depends on it with a sense of urgency.
You said like my life depends on the situation.
You know what I mean? That what I heard about you. You know what I mean? They say you know, so like where that drive come from?
I just be going through a lot of shit. Being like real deal shit. Like man, I was outside for real, and just like all the shit from my pad be coming to hunt me type shit. You feel me? Court date back to back. I had court date on the 6th. Right now, hey, Sam, I got court date tomorrow. I got one on the 10th. You feel me? I'm on house arrest.
Well, listen,
all type
man.
Of shit going on.
Check
shit,
this out.
Be laying that shit out.
Check this out, man. Every motherfucking dope ass classic album had a motherfucking story or some pain or adversity to go with it. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know. You could take that shit and let that shit be the fuel in the car that is your success, or you could look at that shit and let it weigh you down like a motherfucking weight on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You pull out of it what you need to make you better. Don't let that shit goddamn dim your light for one moment. But I think now Sleep It. Yeah. You grew up on Old National. Mm-hmm. Those of us from Atlanta know the hardships and hard knock lessons that come from Old National. But I think you say you pride yourself on translating your struggles into stories. So you basically like telling the story of what the shit like, you know what I'm saying, growing up on the Old National.
It ain't even just Old National, it's the whole Southside. Gone really from Washington Road.
Okay, okay. So, but the point is, you taking your stories.
Yeah.
And you putting them in your music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can you determine which stories to tell and which ones not to tell?
I'm telling all of them. Hold your help. It's on the way, John.
Okay, man. So now, Chain, I think you got down have the responsibility and the adversity of managing all of these very strong personalities.
You get it already. How long it took you? You ain't got to be no rocket scientist.
Hey, bro. Hey, listen, man. We done danced this dance before, man. You did.
I have never.
You have never?
Well, it's been a long
enjoy
time.
Enjoy it, brother. Enjoy
it. I'm enjoying it.
It's going to be a lot of lessons.
I'm enjoying it.
There'll be a lot of learning, a lot of lessons on everybody's behalf. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying teaching by example more than anything, not just by trying to. You know, I think you said some dope words that I couldn't put in those words for Hot, you know what I'm saying? Because he do got a lot of stressful shit going on from his past, you know what I'm saying? And
I done been there, though.
Yes.
I done been there, though.
You know, this
tough
is...
Tough time don't last, tough people do.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shit, so, man, you got to straighten that, stiffen that back up. Shit, man. Throw the motherfucker from the shoulder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Long as you keep swinging, you can win.
Yeah.
Only way you can't win is on your motherfucking back.
It's not to play. You got to play to win. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to try to encourage people, use my resources. I mean, I can honestly say they done probably met every rapper in the game in the past 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
just by hanging out, you know what I'm saying? Not to say that's just a big thing to do or whatever, but it's millions of people that wants to be in the same room, in the same section, in the same conversations that I'm in, and I allow them to do that, you know what I'm saying? So
right. It's
just me trying to inspire. I'm on my inspire shit right now,
right.
And I'm really, as an only child, I'm into a more sharing phase of my life because I was more stingy back in the day. Because
you still are, changed.
Yeah, but
you still are.
Like, nobody
bit,
ever gave me. I mean, it's crazy. Like I didn't even tell.
Like,
so
why.
When you go through that, like
I understand. I'm an only child too.
Yeah. So when that happens to you, like, and I don't even want to get on me because I got my guys with me, but it's certain things that even I gotta overcome because I just gotta overcome, and I just have to sleep with my jeans under my pillow to keep money. I did that and still used to get hit. You know what I'm saying? Still used to wake up with no money. So it like something may have scorned me, but I'm getting out of, like, especially to have somebody I can call little brother, something like that.
Right.
I love it. And game be worth more than money, you know what I'm saying? Because if I'd have knew some of these tools back then, I probably would be richer than I am now. So that's all. Like, I'm just trying to get niggas some information so they ain't got to read. You know, nigga don't feel like reading. I could just tell you what I've already read. Help you out.
I'm gonna encourage you to read, man.
I don't mind reading. I'm just talking about.
I'm talking about. We know you're a student.
Yeah,
you know
I'm not. I'm talking about I'll do the reading. I don't mind sharing the knowledge that I have.
And you shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't. But them motherfuckers need to get that money. They need to get it for the goddamn self too.
Yeah,
goddamn,
man,
because ain't nothing like firsthand.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's good to have a motherfucker that'll tell it to you. But if you dive in there and get that wisdom for yourself, you know what I mean? That shit is priceless. Now, y'all got a compilation out, right?
It'll be out Friday, yeah.
Oh, Face No Case?
No Face, No Case.
No, okay, so that's the name of the compilation.
Name of the compilation.
That's not like the name of a group or nothing.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Bear Loke has a company called No Face, No Case, which I found out after. Shout out to Bell, but our compilation is called that. Purposely off the picture that I did as an old gangster flick, where these
guys were holding fedoras to their face. They always took pictures like that. So mm-hmm. I started thinking of the emoji. I just started thinking of all these promotional things and marketing things.
Right.
And so it was either going to be looking like it, which we say all the time,
mm-hmm.
or no face, no case. And then we, behind the scenes, not even with them, thought no face, no case, conceptualized the actual photo. So after Friday, that's just it. But that's the name of the comp. And then it's an umbrella of records with all us on it. So, you know, as you can tell, a lot of us have some things going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, crime, or have done some, just some things in the past. And so,
unfortunate.
No face, no case is sleekly, is slightly appropriate for what this music is that they're about to check out this week. So I'm going to let one of the other guys articulate themselves. So, and then,
man, they open dialogue. Anybody got something to say, man? I think, you know what I'm saying, man? Y'all, they say, you said one phone call changed your life.
Yeah.
Which one?
Phone call to go to Cali. My first time going to Cali, going to Chain House. I was in the house. I had a jet crashed the car, and I hit the news. Kind of crashed the car and shit, got ejected and shit. So my mama had a goddamn, made me move from that and shit. I had to go stay with my uncle. He had a little spot, a little off up there, Buckhead and shit. So I'm up there, I'm just got down. Feel I'm up there about a month. I ain't having no motion. You feel me? I ain't got that. I was stealing cars and shit then, so I wasn't stealing cars no more and shit. I wasn't having no emotion. I'm losing my money, spending my money and shit. So I'm starting to get hurt. My pocket's starting to get flat and shit. I wake up, I'm trying to goddamn get me some noodle from the store. So I go get me some motherfucking noodle from the store. I finally get back to the house. I'm cooking up the noodles. Boom.
Whipping
the motherfuckers up. Fuck around. My cousin did fuck around, called me like, goddamn. Cut. Before then, I would already take a little trip to streets at every now and then, shit like that. But it would just play my music, shit like that. I dip, you feel me? A month later, probably go out there, play some music, dip, shit like
that. So you get a phone call.
Yeah,
you cooking noodles.
Cooking noodles.
Uh-huh.
He like, shit, pack your bag, finna go to the airport, goddamn. Finna go to change spot or some shit like that. So he just like, man, pack your bag, man, finna go to Cali. Pack my bag, I get to the airport, I see Sleepy out there. So goddamn. I mean, Sleepy already for the same blocks and shit. See Sleepy out there, we go to Cali. Goddamn. Shit.
And that changed. See, I can relate to that because I had a similar call that changed my life.
What was it, Killer?
Believe it or not, it was when KT beat me from the face. I was goddamn riding my bike up and down. I used to ride my bike all night, sell dope up and down Bankhead. And so, you know, it was, you know what I'm saying, an early morning page around fucking 8:39 in the morning. Didn't recognize the number.
He had a code.
And there wasn't no code behind it.
Man.
That's what I was saying. Like, I ain't recognize the number. It was just a straight number. Mm-hmm. So I called the motherfucker back and it said LaFay Records. I'm thinking, who in the fuck is LaFay wants some work? I hadn't even, like, ascertained that it was, you know, KP. And so when they packed me into KP, he was like, yo, we finna go up here to the Source Award, man. With Outkast, Youngblood, Goody Mob, I want to know if you want to go. I want to go.
So on I got off my bone
and hit my guy. You know, so I was buying two and a quarter at the time. So I gave, you know what I mean, enough for one on. He gave me two, so I got four and a half. I got and worked the first two and the baby off, and then, you know what I'm saying, gave him my time. I get the rest later, and I used all that money to motherfucking go to L.A. I knew I was finna blow through that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. But I had enough work to get him in money back when I came back. So I go to L.A. and, you know what I'm saying, I'm on the bus freestyling with fucking Goody Mob and Big Boy. And went to the Source Award, seen E-40 whoop a nigga, man, photo goddamn, show ain't started. E-40 on their way to the seat. You know, I don't know what happened. I can't tell what was said.
Yeah.
I don't know, before it was on some excuse me shit, trying to get to his seat.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he stopped and then looked down. And then he got the
whooping.
Whoa. So anyway, and so I made a conscious decision at that time right then. I am never selling dope no more. I'm too close.
Right.
I'm too close to where the fuck I want to be. I came home, I gave that dope away.
Mm.
Gave it to Matt Boney, C-Rod, and then they got them busted down like shit, nigga. I want it. And I was like, yeah, I can have it. And my plug at the time, I told him, I said, man, shit, man, it gonna take me a little bit longer. I ain't even gonna sell. I ain't working no more. I ain't finna sell no more dope, man. I'm finna do that rap shit, man. I'm finna get signed and shit. And Cud told me, man, don't even worry about it. You ain't selling no dope. You don't owe me no money, nigga. Just go. You know what I mean, nigga? Just go. He said, now, if you start selling dope again, I'm going to want my money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I have a similar story to change my life. That's why, you know what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to know about it. So all you guys can sing and rap.
I harmonize and rap.
Okay. Is that
I don't know what to call it. I don't sing though.
Y'all do the auto tune shit.
What kind? Nah, I don't use auto tune. No, I'm just fine.
Young Wallace. Huh? I call auto tune Young Wallace my own shit.
Okay. Shit, man.
I sang, I know you've been singing
since the Rick kid.
Yeah, I sing.
And that you said, what's up? Yeah. That's you.
Yeah.
Man. Everybody say, what's up? And they still saying it.
For sure.
That's an anthem for
you. Dig what I'm saying?
They gonna turn up every time they hit.
Yes, indeed. And you say you like cool in the game, right, Schooly?
Yeah. For sure. I actually did a cover for Cool in the Game called School in the Game. It's hard too.
Is that on the compilation?
No.
It's not on the compilation.
I got some solo album shit going on too, you know, coming.
Okay.
Very soon.
Alright, but so what's your favorite Cool in the Game record?
The one I did.
The one, okay.
I can't lie about that one.
Do you know the original?
I really wanna sing it.
But nigga sang it. Nigga sang it, goddammit.
Me just think about the song on trip.
You don't know, motherfucker. You don't know the goddamn name of the song, do you, Schooly? It's all right. Let's just say that, and then we can go on to something else.
I don't remember. That's what it is.
Well, yeah,
you seen the shit out of it. I do know.
Yeah, I just don't remember that motherfucker.
Yeah, you hear? Look, hey, look at him.
Look. What
the hell is
you talking about, nigga?
Hey, man, they give you the cheat sheet.
I ain't got my phone with a cheat sheet. I would have went to it on my phone.
Siri.
Got my little brother like
Siri,
that.
What song is this nigga talking about?
No, he ain't no jive.
Nah, man. I know Schooly for years, man. He ain't got the what thing about it. You ain't got to sell me on him. I know what this is. How you guys get along all together, man?
I met Sleepy come to the studio soon. We met, we ducked each other down, the guy in the booth. I been no skate from goddamn way before Chains. He just, you know, him being skate.
And I got there.
This crazy nigga right here got there. We just locked in how we locked in.
Right.
But that's how I met all the boy.
Well, shit, bro. So this Friday, the shit dropping. Mm-hmm. And what's the date on that?
2/7.
That's the 7th.
February 7th. All right, cool. February 7th. No Faith No K will be out. That is the name of this compilation. And not Bell Oaks Record Label.
It's not Bell Oaks Record Label.
Not Bell Oaks.
No, it's not Bell Oaks Record Label. They shout out to their record label. They got some stuff going on. You know, got an album called that, and that's the end.
I got
of
a song
that.
With them boys too going.
That's what I was just finna say. Why the fuck don't y'all just work together? That my boy. Sound like it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just late to the party. I had no idea, brother. Like, hey, no cap, I had no idea. Then, like, this boy sent me a song after I done named it and everything. Like, so I'm not in a bubble like I used to be. I used to be in a complete bubble. You know what I'm saying? I realized I couldn't go nowhere if I didn't just try to pay attention to the culture. But, like,
right.
I can't tell you I know everything moving in Atlanta. And even though I've been knowing home and his cousin and all them over there, man, I don't know what they have going on business-wise because I mind my own business. Uh-huh. So this was just like a thing that happened.
You know what it is? It's a teachable moment and a perfect opportunity to come together and work.
Yeah, I don't have no problem with that.
I think that's what I did. That's what I see.
I have no problem with that. I've also been doing this for a long time and will always welcome support.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And reciprocated as well. You know, so that's what all that is. It ain't.
Man, I know that each and every motherfucker sitting at this podium has been in a much motherfucking worse place in their life.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And this shit, every day, man, we get new opportunities to build, to grow, to evolve as a person, as an artist, as a businessman, as a father. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, first of all, I just want to I want to congratulate you motherfuckers to making it here to this moment.
Appreciate you having us.
You dig what I'm saying? Just goddamn, man, don't take the shit for granted. You know, treat every moment like the last, because it ain't another one, promise. Mm-hmm. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know what the day is here. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying? Shit, I wish y'all all the success in the world, bro. You know what I mean? Like I told Chain, shit, when you get there, I'm going to be keeping the champagne cup.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to be the first motherfucker pass you a bottle when you walk in. You dig what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. I got a couple more runs in me now. Why would I tell you? I love this part. But see, I do this for a living.
What's that you do?
What I do for a living.
What you do, tell me?
Man, I exceed expectations. That's what I do for a living. Uh-huh. I over exceed.
Oh, do you know?
Any expectation. That's what I do. That's what I do. I walk around. That's what I do. Shawty, you can't do this. What'd you say? Did it again. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I do, and I enjoy it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Man, I train for this shit like it's a real sport, man. Man, nobody can do this shit like I do and work hard as I do, man. If I told you what I did today alone, I ain't even done. Who showed you how to do it? Shit, no one individual.
Who showed you how to do it? Say their names and then leave mine out, goddammit. Let's see if that can happen.
I'm going to be honest. Like, shit, with the work ethic that I got, I'm going to be honest, bro. I wasn't, like, you know, around you. I just saw you from the outside. But, like, Wayne had a lot to do with it. I stayed with Shawty damn near.
That's right. His name going to be in there, too.
Yeah, so, like, when I see what he doing, he going to sell 1 million records in 1 week.
Yeah.
When they tell him he sold 1 million records, get where he was at?
In the studio. You dig what I'm saying?
I'm done with that. You know what I'm saying? So, period. That's the end of the story. That's the end of this whole thing. So, when I'm looking at this and I'm sitting by it, I'm not ignoring this. I'm paying attention. I'm inspired by it.
Right.
The man do 2 hours on stage. I go take a shower, get on the bus. Where he at? In the studio. My first bus I ever buy, guess what it got on it?
A studio.
My house in Florida. Studio. My house in Cali. Studio. I got 2 in the city here. That's my new trap now. I learned a lot of that from just watching individuals. You can too. We appreciate y'all for watching.
Man, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now we have
For the record now.
Okay, let's hear it.
Talk your shit now.
A song called Get Down On It. I just thought about it.
Okay, now.
Better late than never.
It's, I gotta keep it, to be honest, I like a lot of movies. I watch a lot of television growing up, and I get a lot of songs from movies, and I never actually knew the name of them until I started researching them. So, you know, I kind of remembered that song just from Mama Them playing it and off Baps, you know, just get down on it, get down on it.
All right.
You know, so I just call it School and Gang. I ain't want to give them the same name.
It's all good. Well, I think that, you know what I'm saying, the generation will be interested in what moves you guys will be making next. You dig that? So, shit, man. All y'all in the position. You got the ball. Y'all just got there collectively. All work together, man. You know what I mean? And build that shit. Hold that shit up. And shove it in the motherfucking face every chance you get. In town, out of town. You dig what I'm saying? You do that successfully, like I tell you, when you get down there, goddamn it, I'm going to be keeping the champagne cold. Now,
for sure,
we have a fucking tradition here. Tradition here at Expeditiously, and that is the word of the week. The word of the week is indicative to the discussion and or the people that we're having the discussion with. So the word I chose for today is ubiquitous. Ubiquitous. Existing or being everywhere at the same time. Constantly encountered. Present, appearing, or found everywhere. Ubiquitous. Now what I'm going to do here, man, I'm going to use shit in the sentence so motherfuckers can listen to it, then they go back to work or whatever, and then they use the motherfucker like they known it all their life. Won't give us no credit. Don't worry about that. We always knew in Atlanta that 2 Chainz was a star. And that is because superstar shit in Atlanta is ubiquitous. You can't miss it. You come to Atlanta, goddammit, I don't give a damn if you don't go nowhere but from the motherfucking the airport to the Popeyes, nigga, you gonna meet a star. You dig what I'm saying? There's gonna be a motherfucker back there at Popeyes serving chicken like no other. You dig what I'm saying? Atlanta breeds stars. This shit is ubiquitous. So, with that being said, man, wish you got nothing but love and success, man. They project dropped February 7th. You did.
This Friday.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, to change another thing I want to thank you for, man, you know what I'm saying? The Pink Trap House. The Pink Trap House from Pretty Girl Love Trap Music. That.
Give it to me, right?
Inspired. Yeah, that inspired. That inspired me. That inspired me to want to set up, you know what I'm saying? Set up shop and do it.
Come on, tell you what you ain't done saying.
What'd you say?
Look at Neff over there. What's up, man?
That inspired me to want to, you know what I'm saying, do a location where people could come and treat as a landmark, and that later began. It became the Trap Music Museum.
For real, Shotty?
It did. The Trap Music Museum. But now I will say this: now the thing that I learned from you and what you did great and what you didn't execute very well was you have to own the building. You see, if you don't own the building, you make too much motherfucking noise and commotion at one time, then people complain and you get your lease cut. And you taught me that too, so I knew whatever I do, I have to own the building.
I'm glad.
I appreciate that. But you do own the building at Escobar, though.
I own all the rest of it.
You own all the rest of it. So you actually learned a little bit that you learned something.
I was already on them building. Them people didn't want to sell it. They had plans for it. And so I felt like if I could show them how not to make plans for it,
right,
that they would let and they'd keep boom. But it was actually the neighbors. They were fine with it. The neighbors
they
were uncomfortable because of parking. But what I was trying to tell them I thought this whole thing out. The neighbors were actually people that framed pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we were using the Trap House as almost an artistic expression building. You walk in, you see art, you get inspired, boom. I felt like art and picture frames had a strong correlation for some reason. That's what I was thinking.
So you thought it was being mutual.
I'm thinking this shit going super work.
Yeah, right.
Not the other way around. You don't want no client. You don't even want no play. So
probably had that same old traffic than they'd ever seen in their life. Shit scared me.
Everybody
ain't built for that shit, bro. Yeah,
I actually thought it was a brilliant idea.
That shit scared people, man. When motherfuckers got that, can you imagine a motherfucker who ain't seen but one or two people walking in that they go, the nasty lines wrapped around the corner, and motherfuckers is kind of like, that shit is, everybody ain't built for that shit, bro.
That's dope.
Yeah, man.
That's love, man. I appreciate that. That's love, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? You did a little something, made me think for a minute. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that, bro.
Man, look, man. I got number love and respect for all you guys, man. And
you got my car now, you motherfucker.
Man, thank you so much for your donation.
You're a bad motherfucker.
Thank you.
You don't whoop shit at me.
Nah, listen, bro. Hey, listen.
Give me some. Turn this off. Give me some, man.
Man, brother, we have all the life. We have some nice merch.
You know how the rap nigga do. Buy me a watch, man.
Absolutely. When you want? You want this one? You want this regular motherfucker?
No, I want a new one, too.
Hey, man. Love y'all, man. And goddamn, man. Like I said, keep putting it in their face every chance you get, man. This has been Expeditious.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. I got some exciting news. My show, Expeditiously, will now be available on Spotify. And it's free. If you already listen to music on Spotify, now you can listen to the podcast in the same place.
Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.